Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Global Fact Radio. Global Fact Radio brings you such shows as Conscious Living, How To with Dean Clifford, and Truth Talk.
Don't you know that you can count me out? Don't you know it's gonna be alright? Alright. Alright.
Today, featuring How To with Dean Clifford.
And good evening, everyone, and welcome to episode 9 of How To with Dean Clifford. Today we have actually part 2 of the same topic we had last episode, which is detaxing, part 2, due to the fact that we had a very popular episode last week. Dean and I have decided to hold a part 2 for this. So today is Monday, January the 21st, I believe it is. The 14th. I'm a little bit ahead of myself here. 2012. My name is Tony Boutros. I'm your host for this evening. Dean Clifford will be joining us shortly. He says he's going to be a few minutes late. He's stuck on the freeway on his way home from work, from his construction site. So in the meantime, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a song just to kill some of this time, and then maybe I'll discuss our upcoming shows we have coming up and ideas that I'd like to hash over with you guys until such time as Dean gets here. So the song I'm going to play is actually a remix. Many of you guys who watched the movie Gladiator probably will remember the theme song from that movie. It's a techno remix. Excuse me, I'm not a big fan of techno, but I found this remix done really well because of the fact of the voiceovers in it, which I think are very applicable here to our situation facing this tyranny and corruption in government. So if you listen to actually Russell Crowe's voiceover in the song, I think you'll know what I'm talking about. And then afterwards, maybe we can comment a little bit on that. So let me see if I can bring it up here. It's only a 3.5 minute song, not too long. And here we go.
Strength and honor.
Eternity. I also like the part where he says, well, whatever happens, we stick together. I think it's quite appropriate considering what we're facing here. Somebody posted on the Global Fact group or fan page, I think, about an article about a dentist and his wife who have been incarcerated and sentenced. He pleaded guilty to tax evasion, which is kind of ties into our motif tonight. And I can't remember who this person was again, but he said he laughed when he read the thing. He said the whole thing was a farce, and I kind of agree 100%. It's funny how they always advertise the cases where the person is found guilty or pleads guilty, and they never publicize the cases where somebody wins against the Revenue Canada or the government. Was it Russell Porsky? Yes, it was, I believe. Let me just double check on that here. Just give me a second. Bear with me here, and I'll double check that for you. Global Fact fan page opening up. And that would have been... Okay, no, it would have been a person by the name Arvid Olsen who posted the article. If you go to the Global Fact fan page, it's, I believe it's the 7th comment down underneath the posting of tonight's episode. A gentleman by the name Arvid Olsen posted it, and I read the article, replied to it, and then he replied back. And, regarding what I wanted to mention to you guys, there's a couple of things before Dean comes on the air. First thing is the announcements. If you wish to ask questions of Dean on the air, and if you noticed last week, we didn't get around to answer all the questions. There were so many regarding this topic. Obviously, it's a hot topic, hence part two tonight. But if you wish to ask questions, the fastest way to do it is by dialing in. I always give priority... I always give priority to people who call in because some of them might be calling long distance. So if you call in, you'll be at the front of the queue. The only exception to that is if we're coming to the end of the 2 hours, where in that case the people who are called in will stay on the live stream, while people who are on the chat room will not be on the live stream. So then I'll give priority near the end to the chat room. The call can be made free. If you go to our episode page right now, you'll see to the right of our dial-in number, you'll see a Skype icon. If you click on that Skype icon and follow the screen prompts, it will become a Skype-to-Skype call and won't cost you a cent. So that's one way you can do it. If you wish not, and by the way, if you do call in and you want to ask a question, you need to raise your hand, and you do that by dialing 1 on your keypad. If you don't dial 1, I have no idea if you're just listening into the show or if you wish to talk to Dean or ask questions. So because there are people who just dial in just to listen. So for me to differentiate between who's listening and who wants to ask questions, please remember to raise your hand by dialing one on your keypad. If you want to ask questions in the chat room, that's also possible, but only if you're signed in. Now, you can create your own Blog Talk profile if you want, but it's not necessary. If you sign in with your Facebook account and or your Twitter account, then you'll automatically be logged into Blog Talk Radio, and you'll be able to ask questions on the chat room. This also helps us because when you do that, when you sign in using your Facebook account, for example, it puts a status on your wall that you're listening to Global Fact Radio, How to with Dean Clifford, and gives us a little bit more exposure. And the more people we get into the listening to this, the better. I'm sure you all agree with that. I'm not sure what you're talking about here, Martin. Dean, he abandoned the argument. I'm not sure what argument you're talking about. But Dean will be here shortly. And what did he do the second time? Okay, I'm not following the chat room here, so bear with me. Okay, the third announcement is if you decide to ask questions on the chat room, there's so much chatter going on, and I'm trying to manage two different screens here, sometimes three. I need you to put your question in red, bold text. That's how I see I'll be able to kind of weed your question out from all the rest of the chat. So if your question is not red, bold text, I'm not going to see it, and I'm not going to ask it. Please do not use red bold text unless you are asking questions. Between tax evasion and tax avoidance, tax avoidance, from what I know, is not illegal. Tax evasion is, but I'll put your question in the queue and let Dean answer that one himself. From my experience, from the seminars I've attended, tax avoidance is not illegal, but tax evasion is, according to the statutes. Okay, so according to the statutes, tax evasion is. All right. Let's see here. Oh, if you're not yet a member of Global Fact Group, I strongly recommend that you do join. Here's the link for that. Correct myself. The link I just posted right now is for the fan page. So do me a favor and like the page. That way you'll be notified whenever I post the next episode for Dean Clifford, because I post it there first. If you like the page, you'll be notified. But also, if you want to be part of the discussion, because you guys cannot post in the fan page, only the admins can. All you guys can do is comment on our post. But if you want to start your own post and create a discussion, you're welcome to join our Global Fact Facebook group. And that's the link for that one, which just popped up now. There you can ask to join. I'll accept you, and then you can post your own discussion there. If you do join a group and click on the Files tab up top, you'll see a file called, let me get you the exact name for it here. It's a spreadsheet that I put together myself. Because I've always believed that the way to win the war against the dark, New World Order elite globalists is by reaching critical mass. I mean, you guys have seen all these protests. You have, you have the Occupy protests. You have all the different protests that were going on around the world. Now, granted that these protests have created an awakening. They raised awareness of people about what's going on with the corruption, the government, and the tyranny and all that stuff. But how much of a dent did it cause? Like, you know, they're still in power, and we're still having to fight with them. I believe the only way this battle against them can be won is by reaching critical mass, and the keyword there is critical. So I put together, if you go to file section, the files tab in Global Fact Group, there is a document called the Global Fact Movement Unity Plan Revised. Okay, the Global Fact Movement Unity Plan Revised. You can download it, look at it. I showed mathematically, and to me, I'm a mathematical person. You know, numbers do not lie. I showed mathematically if every person, if every member of our group was to introduce two new people that need to be awakened into the group, and there's a lot of information shared daily in that group, then eventually they'll come on to the radio show, they get to hear Dean and other guests that we have on our Sunday shows and so on. But if everyone brings in two people, in less than 2 years, you'd have such a large number that there's no way we can lose this battle. And I'm talking less than 22 months here. That's if you only bring in two. If you bring in more, of course, it speeds up the process. But and that was based on 50% participation as well. So we had, at the time I made this document, we had about 350 members. So I based it on 50% participation only, meaning only 175 people bringing in two people each. Imagine what would happen if all 350 did. So you're more than welcome to look at that document. You can critique it if you want. You guys all have my email. It's tony@globalfact2012.com. I'll type it up for you. Tony. So you're welcome to critique the document. Tell me if there's any flaws you see in it. But I think I was very conservative with the estimations in that document. Let me see here. I'm trying to catch up on the chat. Yes, it is. Trust me. In my family, and this is to BBB too. In my family, I'm the outcast. I'm the nutcase in my family. But I'll tell you one thing. You know, you don't have to try to convince them. All you need to do is plant the seed. Okay, just plant the seed and let it grow. My younger brother, he thought I was a total nutcase. But when he saw me doing the shows every Sunday, he started, you know, listening to the shows because I was staying at his place at the time. Because I had just came back from the Philippines and I had not yet found a place. So I started doing the shows, and he started listening. And next thing you know, one day I came home, and guess what I found him watching? I found him watching a documentary on YouTube about the New World Order. So, you know, sooner or later, they'll have to come around. There's too much people talking about it nowadays and too much stuff going on for them to ignore it. What I do recommend is when you're trying to get somebody awakened is don't throw these hardcore documentaries at them. It just scared the heck out of them. Try something like Thrive. Okay, Dean just sent me a message, said 2 minutes, he'll be home, he's changing his clothes, so we'll give him 2 minutes. Try something like Thrive. What on earth will it take? It's more of a mellow approach to it. After that one, ask him questions, definitely. That would work as well. Another one you can try is the one by Aaron Rousseau that he put out in 2007, I believe, something like that. It's called America, Freedom to Fascism. I think it's an excellent documentary. Aaron Rousseau, a lot of people know him. He's a major Hollywood producer. He did a movie with Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy, Trading Places. He also produced The Rose with Bette Midler. So people know who he is. So try that one. And then maybe try The Esoteric Agenda after that and slowly work them up to the more hardcore documentaries. I would not start with Zeitgeist, by the way. That would be too much for anybody to take. So yeah, so look over that document. First of all, join the group, look over the document, and then let me know what you think. And if we all work together, I'm pretty sure we can win this battle within 2 years' time. All right, so I'm going to try to dial in Dean here. So because I'm already live on the air, I'm going to do it live. So you're going to be hearing some ringing happening in the background.
Hello.
And good evening, Dean.
How's it going, Tony?
Not bad. How are you?
Very good.
So who do you have to punch out on the freeway?
Oh, man. Oh, just everything. Just today was just getting on my nerves right from the time I woke up this morning. It's one of those days.
Okay. Well, you people heard him. He's in a bad mood, so ask him all the hard questions.
Excellent. Nah, it's just one of those days where it should turn into just a rant fest, but it's probably not going to. I think I got most of my anger out already, so.
Okay, great. By the way, normally I have a second dial into the system in case I get dropped off, because I'm the host. If I get dropped off, everything shuts down. So if I do get dropped off, because I can't have a second dial in today, but if I do get dropped off, do not leave the chat room or do not hang up. You'll still be hanging kind of there, and all you need to do is wait a couple of minutes for me to dial back in. That's it. So, Dean, here's what I think we should do. Since we never got around to answering all the questions last week, if you have something quickly to add regarding the topic of detaxation, go ahead. But I think we should dedicate most of today to try to cover most of those questions. What do you
think? Yeah, I think just a couple things maybe that I don't know if you want to come updates or what. I don't know who's paying attention to the news and whatnot, because this has relevance, especially in Canada with income tax issues. But I noticed that yesterday, I believe it was, it might have been the last couple of days, there was a dentist there that was just found guilty there of tax evasion.
Yeah, actually, I mentioned that.
Linked to the Paradigm Group there.
Yeah, I mentioned that at the beginning of the show, that somebody posted on the Global Fact fan page, and I mentioned how I think it's a bit of a joke, the fact that they publicize these cases when, you know, we don't really know what really happened. For all we know, the guy could have struck a deal with them, and he probably doesn't have to pay a cent.
Well, that's exactly what that is, especially when you have somebody who completely renounces their beliefs at sentencing and says that they now believe that income taxes are legitimate and they're sorry and all that kind of stuff, and basically reverting back to being a pathetic slave and confessing, basically. You might as well just walk into the Catholic confession booth there and just said, yep, I acknowledge the Pope's authority. He's God on this earth. I'll continue to pay him money. Go easy on me. And so they do. I mean, it's just absolutely disgusting the way that they just promo the hell out of that now, too, just to, you know, again, just to scare their, oh, yeah, there's one of those guys, and, oh, yeah, look, even he's renouncing his own beliefs, you know, about income taxes and whatnot. So it was just sickening. It made me sick to my stomach to actually see somebody be that pathetic and that scared of jail and that, you know, talk about not standing up for your beliefs, not standing up for yourself, just to bow down like that, and just to be so disgusting and renounce your previous stance as being completely wrong just to avoid jail. That's everything that is wrong with society today is exactly what happened in that court case. The guy didn't know anything about court. He probably didn't bother to learn anything. And that's another thing before we get into questions, too. People have to realize there's so many arguments to income taxes in Canada. I mean, 12 years ago, one of the ones that I remember looking into at first was, the Geneva Convention there, right? Like, simple. Anybody should be able to walk into court and say, well, I'm not paying it. I refuse to pay income taxes because Canada is helping the United States bomb Libya back to the Stone Age. You cannot compel me to pay income taxes to fund illegal wars. It's a violation of the Geneva Conventions. Bam, you'll win, just based on that alone. That's not an argument I'd want to make, because I don't care about the Geneva Conventions. I just think it violates my rights, period, whether it's used for war or not. But there's a million different arguments you can use. So, yeah, I don't know. That's kind of my rant there for today. Aside from that, we know we're right. What you don't hear promoted is the ones that they lose continuously. The people that they chase through the court system for 10, 12, 13, 14 years, like some of these farmers in Saskatchewan that win consistently, or it just never goes anywhere, until they finally just commit some absolutely unbelievable flagrant acts of terrorism against these people to want to get a couple of months of jail out of them. Today's wonderful update that I got. I got a text message from my brother this morning at about 11 o'clock in the morning to let me know the newest tactic of the Okotoks Provincial Court in Alberta. Their newest tactic is to refuse service by registered mail. He got his court documents back unopened in the registered mail system. And the people working at the post office were even nervous when he came in, and they're like, Mr. Clifford, you got some registered mail back today. How do you get registered mail back from a courthouse? So they call us criminals. These people are so desperate, so pathetic, that now they're resorting to willfully refusing registered mail just to try to avoid us from being able to put documents in the court file. Two documents. Oh, yeah, paper. Oh, I forgot. We're paperwork terrorists, right? We got two documents with a notary seal on it. There's probably about four lines on each one that any retard with a grade 3 education could understand. We're the paperwork terrorists, though, and they're the ones refusing registered mail. It's pathetic. It's sickening. They're so dirty. I feel like I want to shower just thinking about how disgusting these people are. Sitting back there in the counters. Okotoks Provincial Courthouse, don't worry. We got your number. Because that is a crime. Public servant refusing service. Refusing service of documents is a crime that is in the criminal code. So don't you worry. You'll be hearing from us right away, as well as the rest of the detachment from Turner Valley that we've finally initiated most of our actions against. So there's your newest tactic for you from the law-abiding folks in the court system, the benevolent and altruistic Canadian government, who their employees now willfully refuse registered mail. Yeah, lovely, guys. That's my rant on that for today, and I think I had one other one I was going to mention. I had a bit of a revelation today. I was driving around and I was thinking there, Tony, and I got thinking about that CSIS report there a couple weeks back, and it was all over the National Post about how freemen are the greatest threat to Canada, to the government, that exists, apparently. We're more of a threat than Muslim extremists. And, Dean's been thinking. and I got thinking about that, and I said, damn, you know what? They're right. If we think about this logically, the Canadian government is a democracy. A democracy is the precise opposite of a republic. It's the antithesis to a republic. In a democracy, you have no rights but what the government gives you. The government claims to be enforcing the will of the people. That's why you have no rights. You only have the rights that the will of the people are willing to extend you as a whole, right? Okay, well, that's the same as that. That's Napoleonic laws, what that is. It's thinly veiled absolutism. So that's the antithesis to a republic. And the republic is where we all want to get back to. So if it's the antithesis or the opposite of a republic, that would be two warring systems. So I think that's an honor for them to say that the freemen are now at a capacity in Canada that we are the greatest threat to the democracy that the democracy presently has, because that means that we're winning and we're doing something, and that's great. And they've now acknowledged that we're going to kick their asses, and they're terrified, and I think it's great. So, I thought about that today, and I was like, damn, they're actually correct. We are the greatest threat that there is to the democracy, because they need us to stay in the democracy to remain in power. And the more of us that wake up and learn to live our own lives and smarten up and decide we don't need these retards in Ottawa, and we don't want to obey the will of the people, and we don't want to vote in a democracy because a democracy is a pile of pig puke. Say that 10 times. Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled pig puke. Okay, that's what they are in Ottawa. So we don't need these ass clowns. And they're starting to realize that we're all figuring that out, and we're starting to gain momentum. And the more that they throw people in jail, it's not working. For some reason, five of us spring up out of the dirt like Irishmen every time they throw one person in jail. So the same tactics aren't working no more. So if they want to consider me a terrorist, good. I consider them a terrorist. If they think that they're at war with us, good. I'm at war with you. I'm okay with all this. All right, let's get with our questions from last week. Those are my thoughts for the week.
Okay, I want to add something to our listeners. It actually ties into what you're saying about how despicable they are and how they do not mention the cases that do win, and they publicize the hell out of the ones that, like this doctor who changed his mind and said that he pleaded guilty. I mentioned this on a previous episode about a lady by the name of Lovey Cridge. I don't know if you remember that, Dean. But she used
I know
to work,
that name.
Yeah, she worked for Revenue Canada as a senior accountant for 25 years, and now she gave up her designation. And I listened to her speak at a group here in Vancouver called the Free Thinkers Club. She spoke on the same night that Robert Menard spoke. And I went there specifically for Robert, but then she spoke afterwards because I don't know who Lovey Cridge was. But she said that she has actual proof documents that were sent to her mistakenly from England, from the Attorney General, or what do you call them? Not sure what his title is, but she requested documents that were sent to her erroneously. They were the original documents that proved that the Income Tax Act were not legislated in Canada. And she said that she told me that she helped four people so far from Eastern Canada. When she produced these documents, the judges dropped the case. I have asked if she has a precedent in BC yet. She said no. I said, I'm willing to volunteer. If you want a guinea pig, someone to, so you can have a precedent case in British Columbia, I'm willing to volunteer. She told me, well, you first have to wait till Revenue Canada comes after you. That was the first stipulation. She said, then we can start the working. She goes, they haven't come after yet. There's nothing we can do. But she did say, she goes, one thing that pissed her off, the one gentleman in Winnipeg, she said, that's your neck of the woods there. She said that they were winning. But what happened is when Revenue Canada sees that you're going to win, they approach you. And they make you a deal. They'll tell you whatever back taxes you owe, we'll waive them. You don't have to pay anything.
Yep.
Well, you won't have to pay any penalties on the condition that you sign a declaration of guilt. And that's all you have to do. And they told him he has to file, but never has to pay taxes ever again. So they struck a deal with this guy. So they waived all his penalties. They waived all his back
taxes. So now there's no case law. Exactly.
Exactly. So that's how
that's
dirty
exactly
they get.
Exactly what they do, Tony. They approached a friend of mine like that a number of years back, after about 8 years, 9 years of him fighting them. They approached him and they said, look, let's stop all this. You're not going to have to pay a dime. We just need you to sign a paper that says that you acknowledge that income taxes are legal and you'll never have to pay ever again.
Okay.
They need that. The minute there's one piece of case law out there that the Income Tax Act is unenforceable, it's game over for them. They have to fight that to the death from happening.
And they probably won't let it happen anyway. To answer the question of Wally Banger, here's the good news. Before tonight's show, about 20 minutes before tonight's show, Lovey Critch called me because I had left her a message. I'm trying to get her as a guest on our Sunday night show, which is the Conscious Living. I've been trying to get her on for the last 2 months. She finally returned my call. I'm supposed to talk to her at the end of this show, so I cannot give you any promises yet. But she seemed interested in coming onto the show and telling her story, basically give the same account she did when she spoke publicly at the Free Thinkers Club in Vancouver. In Kitsilano. So I'm trying to get her there. So you can ask her that question yourself if I get her to agree to come onto the show regarding releasing those documents publicly. Okay? All right.
Yeah.
Moving on to questions.
Yeah. Well, let's just stick with that for a second here, and then we'll get to the questions anyways. But people have to remember, and I'm not sure if I've talked about this on some of the previous shows again, somebody sent me a link online to the Income Tax Act and said, oh, Dean, you're always saying that there's no such thing as the Income Tax Act. Well, here it is. And they sent me a link to some pile of crap on the Justice Department website that's like the Consolidated Acts, whatever, some crap that I don't care about, okay? Here's the problem, okay? When a piece of legislation is actually passed and it's allegedly given royal assent, it's sent to the Queen's printer. So that anybody that wants to go and get a copy, a certified copy of this act that has received assent, they can go down to the Queen's printer and get a certified as true copy that this is precisely what was authorized by Parliament. Okay? I asked for a copy of that 17 years ago now. I've never seen it. They will not respond to that. They will not even produce one if you subpoena them to produce it in court. They can't. It doesn't exist. Not only that, I actually have somebody that the Queen's printer got back to them and said, because he just kept hounding them and said, I want to copy this thing, I want to copy this thing, I want to copy this thing. They got back to him finally and said, we can't give you what we don't have. They admitted they don't have one. There is no such thing as the Income Tax Act. It's an internal, private piece of legislation that was never given royal assent. It doesn't exist. It's like the ratification of the 16th Amendment down in the United States. It doesn't exist, but it doesn't need to because it has force and effect by operation of law. And that comes down to the courtroom, okay? And that comes down to the appearance that you make where you waive all deficiencies in the Crown claim, in the Crown's claim against you. Do you not think that the fact that that law doesn't exist is a pretty big deficiency in the Crown's claim against you? Well, you waived that when you made general appearance. They no longer have to prove it. You don't need a document from the Attorney General that says that law has no force and effect. You can go into court by special appearance and say, hey, yeah, look, no problem. I'll tell you what. I'll take part in these proceedings when you guys produce a certified copy of that Income Tax Act from the Queen's printer. And then you prove that it has force and effect against me. There's two conditions of me taking part in this. Do that. I got no problem taking part. Of course, I would never be that stupid. I'd make sure there's all sorts of other conditions on there as well. But they can never produce it. Ever. But people want to go in and make the wrong arguments. They want to argue the definition of a word within that act. I don't give a shit about the definition of a word within that act. If it has no applicability to me, which it does not. And again, that judge in BC, the one that made that very, very interesting ruling in my criminal prosecution out there that I have to proceed with round two yet, agreed with me, absolutely. No act or statute of the government applies to the private individual. Nothing that the government generates applies to non-government. It only applies to the government. So that means the problem is with what the Crown is claiming you are. And the Crown doesn't have to prove anything because every single presumption and assumption that the court operates on, because courts operate on procedure, everything the Crown done is assumed to be in good faith, accurate, and correct.
Well, actually,
you ratify that the minute you take part in their proceedings without condition.
But Dean, you said last week, just to clarify for our listeners, since you know,
yep,
people listen to every episode, you said last week that the onus is on them to prove that there is such thing as an Income Tax Act. So I guess what you're trying to say is that you said the Crown doesn't have to prove anything. Well, they do if they're being asked to prove it. Are they not? Or?
Well, no. If you just walk in there and make general appearance, which means you don't qualify your appearance, and you, especially if you enter a plea, you've waived any deficiency in the Crown's claim. The court's operating on procedure now, and it's assumed that everything the Crown has said there's no longer a dispute as to whether or not there really is an Income Tax Act, whether you really are a taxpayer or not, whether or not you're obligated to pay the income tax, pay income taxes in accordance with the Income Tax Act. That's not the issue anymore. The only issue they now have to prove at trial is that you didn't file or you didn't declare all your revenue. That's it.
Got it. Okay.
That is it. And that's why they win consistently, except for the people that actually make it so blatantly obvious, or they need a big target to take down. So, but again, don't worry about it, people, because, again, their newest tactic now is that for a couple of years there, they simply weren't taking our documents at the court counter. Oh, that was the other great thing, too, is my brother went in last week to go file a copy of his live birth record at the court clerk's window, and they refused to take it. And that's right in the Vital Statistics Act, that document is a fact in any court. But they refused to acknowledge it or accept it at the court. So apparently Okotoks, the Okotoks Provincial Courthouse, is some kind of a marvelous building where they supersede everything. I guess they don't have to abide by any laws down there whatsoever. We're the criminals, and they're the lawful, benevolent government who doesn't obey any of their own statutes. Right. Okay.
All right. Ready to move on?
Yeah, sure. Let's go on.
Okay. Well, the first question we have is from Chance George, who is also a host of his own show here on Global Fact Radio. He says, for a new employee at a job like me, what steps should I take when they bring out that tax form? And is there anything I can reference because a human resources lady is clueless and believes tax is not optional? What I said to him is give the HR lady the link to the How To with Dean Clifford show and let her listen in tonight.
Again, people usually need their jobs, for one, especially if you're working for a big corporation. Number one, if that woman is so sure that it's law, tell her to A, produce the law, and B, sign a piece of paper. Say, okay, you just type up something that says that we refuse to not take deductions off your check. We will, because it's law. I know it's law. And I'm saying it's law, therefore we're taking deductions. Just tell her to put it in writing and sign it then. Say, okay, well, then if you're so confident, just put it in writing and sign it. And then that's fine. That's fine by me. Because now you have a liable party, right? They can never, ever win a lawsuit if you were to go after them now. The other thing is, too, is when they're shoving tax forms in front of you, again, the social insurance number is not the problem. The birth certificate is not the problem. Us not qualifying our signature is the problem. We're leaving everything open to interpretation. And when you leave everything open to interpretation, they will interpret it in a way that benefits them. They will operate on presumptions and assumptions, like you are the accounts payable with regards to that person, that social insurance number, and that's incorrect. Okay? Capacity. Capacity, capacity, capacity. It's no different than when you go to court. When you show up there, in what capacity and for what purpose have you asked me to come here? Here, sign this. Well, you better put your capacity down there. What office or title you hold, or they're just going to operate on assumptions because you left it blank. That's what's called a blank endorsement. Okay, that's the problem. People have to start figuring that out. It's not the social insurance number. It's who you are within the person. That's the important part. Okay, so qualifying yourself. There's nothing. Hey, great. If that corporation will not hire you without taking those income tax deductions off, that's fine. Great, not a problem. So deduct them off my paycheck. That money all gets forwarded to CRA, gets held in trust, and then you go get it back with interest at the end of the year. It's like a high interest savings account. That's fine.
I think X62 has asked, how do you qualify yourself in court?
Oh, man, we've covered that so many times in every episode now.
Yeah. I was going to suggest, you know, maybe it's best if you just listen to previous episodes.
Yeah.
It's all in there.
Special restricted appearance. In what capacity and for what purpose have you asked me to come here today? That's a friend of mine's line from years back. It's very effective. In what capacity have you asked me to come here? And I don't know what you mean by that. Right? Quit telling people things. Start asking questions. This is very important. Who do you people think I am? Instead of you start, I'm a free man on the land and I have natural rights. Well, instead of just saying all that, instead of spilling your guts to them, say, well, we got a problem here. Who do you people think I am? What title or what office within the government do you people claim that I hold? What are my duties and obligations? Why am I here? What is the purpose of me being here today? Like, get them to start answering questions. Get them to expose themselves. Get them to identify who they're presuming you are. Who do you people presume that I am? Who do you think I am? What are you claiming I am?
Okay, let's run with that one there, Dean. So the judge says to you, well, are you not Dean Clifford?
Say, absolutely, I'm Dean Clifford.
Then that's who we think
you are.
In what
capacity, for what purpose have you asked me to come here today?
Well, based on the charges laid against you for 4 counts of tax evasion.
Good for you. How many different ways do we want to answer this one? Well, I'm the grantor and the sole beneficiary. Good. How much has the government assessed that I'm owed?
$75,000.
Good. Cut me a check. Sounds good. I accept. to be honest with you, I'd actually say, no, you know what, that doesn't sound right. I think there's probably at least another zero on that. I think they're making a lot more money off my name than that. I think I'm getting screwed. I think that we might have to order a forensic audit of that person to find out how much they actually owe me. Start talking like the owner. Mr. Clifford, I don't know what you're talking about or what you think this is. I don't know what you're talking about, and I don't know what you think this is. I'm the creditor. What don't you understand about that? Are you claiming differently? Do you have a counterclaim? Is somebody here claiming that I'm not the creditor? Nobody will. You're asking questions, right? Let's just cut right to this shit and get right to it. I own 100% of the equity in that person. It's mine. I'm the grantor. I don't care what capacity you people have summoned me here in. That's the capacity I'm here in. If one of you claimed I'm a trustee or a government employee, I can tell you right now that that's a false claim, because that's impossible, because I'm the grantor. If I was the grantor, the trustee, and the beneficiary, there'd be no trust.
Okay, part two to that question from a different person, but I think it kind of ties in perfectly, with Sean, from Sean O'Donovan. So when working for a company and they take taxes off, then the company takes too much tax off, then the government owes you money, of course, but you don't file. How do you get it back?
Well, that's the problem. You don't file.
But
there's nothing wrong with filing. Who are you? Personally speaking, I'd probably just get the government to file. If people out there want to file and figure out for themselves how much they think that they're owed, that's fine. The thing is, people actually almost can't even comprehend. It almost seems like what are you talking about? Even people that have been studying this stuff for years, they're and this is what we were talking about a few episodes ago. They're so busy trying to detach themselves from the name altogether, instead of just. We all know that government's a mirror image. Everything the government does is the opposite of what it's really supposed to be. Democracy is the opposite of a republic. And if they're trying to collect taxes off us, what does that actually mean? Things are supposed to be flipped the right way around.
Okay,
there you go.
Fair enough.
Someone
said
it on the board there. They owe us. Where are our resources going? Where is all the tax money that they're collecting going? Because there's billions upon billions upon billions of dollars there every year that is supposed to be the wealth of the people. But it's not. It's all stolen. Where
okay, but
it?
In all fairness, though, Dean, this question was asked last week when you were saying on last week's episode, do not file. So this person asked a question based on your instruction that we shouldn't be filing. So he's saying if we don't file and we had paid and my boss has deducted too much tax, how do I get the tax back?
Well, that would be we actually did speak about this last week, where I said at one point there was something put up on the CRA website last year where they actually were telling people, do not appoint the commissioner of the CRA to do your taxes. And if that's a pile of crap, why would they have to make a special point of saying that on their website to try to deter people from doing that? That's one option. Contact CRA, say, hey, how come the filing wasn't done? I haven't got my check yet this year. Don't you people know that's tax evasion? You're supposed to fill out an income tax return once a year. That's your own law. That applies to you. That's the way that's supposed to work, not the other way around. They'll fight like a bastard. Here's the other problem, too. They know that all they have to do is send somebody a couple of letters and scare them, call them a terrorist. Say, we'll criminally charge you and take you to court, and people are going to back away right away because they're going to think, oh, man, just like that dentist in Ontario, oh, man, I'm going to go to jail. And they're right 99.9% of the time. So learned helplessness. That's the only reason we are. Everybody's done a fantastic job of learning how helpless they are. And when the government doesn't jump at the one letter they send off, right? Here's the other thing. Think about it this way. And I'd spoken about making false claims last week. Again, if somebody gave me $100 to hold in trust, and I'm supposed to hold it until the proper party comes to collect it, do I not have a fiduciary obligation to make sure that I'm verifying and validating the person that comes to claim that? That's all they're doing. They're going to give you a hard time. And I don't blame them for that either, because they don't want 10 million people tomorrow showing up saying, hey, where's my money?
Okay, I just want to remind again the chatters and the people in the chat room. If a question is not in red, I'll assume it's a question you're asking another chatter in the room. If you want the question to be directed to Dean, you have to put it in red bold text and only for questions to Dean. Do not use the red bold text or anything else. Because of what you just said, I'm going to ask this question out of order here because I think it pertains to what you just finished saying, Dean. Lady Fairfax says, so why are all the gurus here in the States all wound up about coming and being double-minded in court? You're saying we can be present in court as the grantor or beneficiary?
Absolutely. Why can't you be? That's the only possible capacity for me. So if you've asked me to come here, then that is who I am.
And how would you respond when the so-called judge asks you for proof that you are the grantor or a creditor?
Well, what kind of proof would you have if you owned a bank account? You probably have a bank card, maybe a password. I don't know. But one of the biggest things is also lack of a counterclaim, for one. The live birth record is a very good piece of evidence. It's a fact. On its own, it means nothing if you don't know who you are, right? It's only a piece of evidence. That's all it is. You have to be able to walk in there and talk the talk. That takes
okay.
a long time. Like people aren't going to be able to do this overnight. Like, I still think it's chucklesome that I still get messages like even as early as yesterday, somebody, I got court on Friday. What do I say? That was actually a message I got, somehow. I got court on Wednesday. What do I say? Well, what the fuck are you going to court for? And what do you mean, what do you say? What do you say about what? Like, are you kidding me? You actually sent me a message that said I got court on Wednesday? What do I say? Ask them how much the fine is and pay them. Because, man, you got a lot of years of studying before you're competent enough to go into court and start actually asking questions. Yeah, there you go. Please use lube. Yeah. None of this stuff should be done until you can teach it to somebody else. Because if you don't know it well enough to teach it to somebody else, you're not going to be able to win. Unfortunately. I don't even mind speaking about this stuff out in the open because I already know that 95% of the people that are going to wind up hearing this won't even be able to understand it in the first place. It's like speaking another language. They're never going to follow it through anyways. If there's one thing that the government and the banksters can count on, it's the laziness of the people. That's the only reason these people stay in power. They know that people are lazy and they give up. They give up after a couple of letters where they don't get their way.
Okay, Next question. This is not pertaining to detoxation. I don't know if you want to answer this one, Dean, but you decide if you want to do it or not. This person asked, can we get an update on Dean's RCMP lawsuit?
On which?
Dean's RCMP lawsuit.
Well, it's not a lawsuit. It's actually, I filed criminal charges, and I'm getting differing stories from differing courthouses. Apparently, two different courthouses in British Columbia have two different procedures, even though they told me that they all follow the same procedures. One courthouse requires certain papers to be filled out. The other one doesn't. I've been to one hearing so far on the charges against Chief Superintendent Mike Sakala. Now, you got to remember, I was going after a superior officer with all the charges that the subordinate committed against me, all the crimes, because as a superior officer, he failed to remedy the situation was brought to his attention. So, and that was the hearing where the judge was going to issue process on a few of them, but then the Crown was cued. Obviously, it was all pre-planned. It was the Crown on cue was asked, oh, Crown, don't you have something to say to that? Oh, yes. Crown gets up and mumbles something for about a minute, and then sits back down. That's when I'm going to have to agree with the Crown on this one. See, apparently the Crown's defending the cops now, which was interesting. I think I'd spoken about this on another show. But either way, there's a couple of different avenues I'm going to go with this. I might as well spill the beans on that. Number one, not only did the judge testify from the bench, the judge also practiced law from the bench, and that same judge then made rulings contrary to the Supreme Court of Canada that she's bound by. So there's three really very naughty things that individual did, and they should probably be very nervous about that, but they're probably between a rock and a hard place again, because they're either issuing process against the chief superintendent for Southeast British Columbia, which is a career ender, or they're practicing law from the bench, testifying, and making rulings clearly contrary to the Supreme Court that they're bound by, which is a whole other avenue of possibilities that I can go after. So it's which is more likely to happen, and they're probably betting on the fact that they don't know what I'm going to be able to do about that. Well, they're wrong. I just have to have a few minutes to go ahead and do all that. But the one thing I did like is that she did make a ruling that those cops were acting within the scope of their duties at the time, which is fantastic, because that now puts all liability on the public safety minister for British Columbia. So now I'm going to sue him civilly, and I'm going to take that decision into it'd be BC Superior Court then, I guess, there's a Superior Court out there, or I might take him to federal court here in Winnipeg, because then at least it's nice and close for me. And I'll go right after the public safety minister, because he's the one that hires the RCMP. They work under him. For years, we got that wrong. We used to go after, like, the attorney general all the time, thinking, oh, well, it must be the attorney general's liable. No, they've hidden that all. It's actually under the public safety minister. He's liable. So, great. If they were properly performing their duties, then that means that the duties of a peace officer are to enforce the will of the public, to enforce democracy, to force democracy on private individuals, the sovereign people of this land. Well, if that's their duty, then the public safety minister is liable for incredible human rights violations, if that's actually their duty. So what's going to happen now is they're all going to try to pass around the liability, most likely, but it doesn't matter. In the end, someone's going to go down. Now, they could have just simply done the easy thing and just gave me my truck back. I bought two more. I don't care. I've got more trucks. It can sit there until they give my truck back. And in the meantime, while I'm waiting for my truck to come back, I will wake up another 10,000 Canadians. I will tell everybody how to go after these people, and I will make things very, very, very bad for them. And if all that costs me is a truck in the end, that's fine. I don't care. I can buy more. I work for a living. I'm not a scumbag who lives off other people. I actually have a job. I'll buy another truck. If they steal the two I've got now, I'll buy more. And those can sit there while I go after the next round of ministers that fucked with me. And we can keep doing this dance until they come and shoot me or they're in jail. But one of the two things are going to happen. So that's how my BC thing is going. And we're tracking them all down. They're getting nervous.
Okay.
So keep at her, guys. Nose to the grind.
The question that, let's see here. Lady Fairfax, the one you asked about the birth certificate, what I suggest, I'm not going to ask it because it's been covered several times in previous episodes. If you haven't listened to the first 8 episodes, I suggest you go start from 1 and go through them all, and you'll get the answer to that question several times over. Okay, let's see. Is domicile better to use instead of residence?
Well, see, again, this is what happens when people don't qualify things properly, like the big citizen question or resident question, right? Resident of what? They'll say, well, a resident of the province of Manitoba. Which one? Just like the border guards going down to the States. Sir, at this time, you're being denied entry into the United States. Which one? I can't talk about that, sir. Mr. Clifford, are you a resident of the province of Manitoba? Which one? Are you a citizen? Citizen of what? Of Canada. Which one? Qualify everything. You have no idea what they're talking about, which is why you're better off just not answering anything, period. Resident, I'd stay away from that altogether. I don't like the word resident. Just about every definition we found anywhere pretty much categorically identifies a resident as an officer holding some type of office somewhere. You're within that organization now when you're a resident of it. Again, they're never domicile. It really doesn't matter. Inhabitant, sure, people have come up with reasons why inhabitant is wrong. Like, it's that definition merry-go-round that I just cannot stand. That apparently everything you call yourself brings you under their jurisdiction. It doesn't, right? Are you a resident of what? I'm a resident of my house, sure. I reside at my house. Well, where's your house? Well, it's none of your business. Doesn't matter where I live. Who are you? You don't need to be a resident of anywhere. Citizen, I'm okay with the word citizen, but citizen of what? Well, are you a citizen? Yeah, I'm a citizen of this land. Well, Canada's a commercial zone. It's got nothing to do with the land. So if you're a citizen of the land, that's different. Well, citizen of what land? Doesn't matter. Who are you? Yeah, I'm not into to tricky catchphrases about who I, you know, I just don't care. And if you want to tell somebody who you are and you want to use the word resident, that's fine. But then define what you consider a resident to be in that paperwork. This is what my understanding of what a resident is. Right, I think I spoke about that in videos from like a year and a half ago where I said, hey, use all those words, that's fine, but let them know what you define them as. And then people would say, well, what dictionary should I use? So use your own, just make up a definition. This is what I think it means. If you don't like my definition, good, go get your own, I don't care. But unless we use my definition, I'm not doing business with you. That's what qualifying things is. You're defining them, basically. And I think that's why I recommend that people read contract law books. You'd understand right away that contracts have to be precise, right? Canada just assumes that when you guys are talking about a certain word, Canada operates on the presumption that it's using their definition. Say, no, I don't consent to any of your definitions of words. Same thing with court when you go in there, right after you qualify your name. You say, yeah, by the way, I don't consent to any of your definitions of words. All words used in this courtroom are to be from Black's Law Dictionary, 4th edition, 5th edition. I don't care. Just pick one. Merriam-Webster's. I don't care which one. But then Canada can't refer to their own acts and statutes. It has to be the common usage of the word. And if they're not agreeable to that, say, well, you know what? Then I'm not taking part in this hearing. Why did I take part in a hearing where you guys are using completely different definitions of words, and I don't know what those definitions are? Does that sound fair? You'd have to be a retard to take part in their proceedings without knowing absolutely any of their procedures or the definitions of the words they're using. But that's exactly what's going on, and that's why you get sunk. So, anyways, on to the next. Oh, I've got a fifth edition at home for Cash Mouth, the question there. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what edition you're using. In fact, if you don't like the definition in Black's Fifth or Black's Fourth, then make up your own. This is my definition of what this means. So anytime you get a letter from me and I use this word, this is what it means. That really leaves nothing open to interpretation now. If you specify what legal dictionary you're using or what dictionary period, now that's not open to interpretation anymore. You've made it precise. You've locked it down. So now you can go into court locking down the definitions of words, locking down your identity, locking down everything. So the court has absolutely no presumptions or assumptions it can operate off of.
Okay, we're going to go to a caller now. Caller, area code 321, ending in 1443. Your name, please.
Hey, it's Phil Ward. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing
pretty
great.
Good.
How
yourself?
Good, man. Hey, I'm glad to be on here, and I really want to thank you guys for the format that you're providing. I'm pretty excited about it, man. I've been listening to all of the past episodes. I'm probably about three deep in each one of them, and I pick new stuff up each time. But my question, I had just kind of a simple question. It really doesn't apply to taxes this year, unfortunately. I'm a subcontractor. I own a construction company, and I'm made little enough
good for
money
you.
That it doesn't matter. So it was
that's,
kind of
that's
a rough
awesome.
Year.
Nope,
yeah,
that's
but,
awesome.
Yeah, man, I enjoy being self-employed, and it definitely has some benefits. But one of the questions I had is I'm really interested, and Dean, something I've picked up on that you've said several times was that one of the things we can do is remove ourselves from the democratic process and kind of, you know, become a non-voter, so to speak, and just remove ourselves from the system. But I'm really struggling to find out the exact implications for other stuff, such as my passport. I travel out of the country sometimes, and I also am aware that if I deregister to vote, now I can't be on a jury. And I think, although I've never been called to be on a jury, I know people have been called several times. I never have. I'm willing to go at any time. And so I kind of am just wondering what happens to that.
Yep. Well, remember, there's always a million different avenues to take with this kind of stuff. So I'm usually throwing generalizations out there. But let's put this in. I think last episode we talked about how you can treat the person as the person as nothing more than an investment. So it becomes nothing more than an investment, which is a very, very small part of you, right? If you do you have co-op gas stations where you are?
Not exactly.
No? Okay. You know what a co-op gas station is, though, right?
For sure.
Yeah, you pay $5 and you get a share in co-op.
Okay.
And then at the end of the year, based on how much gas you bought, you get a return, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, if you treat the person like that, all shareholders in co-op get to vote for who the new directors at co-op are, right? But that doesn't mean that co-op governs your life when you're out and about working. So you can actually put the person in perspective of actually that being a share in co-op that you own. You don't have to remove yourself from the voter registry. I tell people it's one way of making it absolutely certain that you don't want to be part of their shit no more. But you don't have to do that. All you have to do is let them know that you don't consent to be governed by the will of the people. That shit applies to you and your officers and your agents when you people are on duty performing a function of government or under a policy or the program of the government. It has no application to me in my private capacity. I do not consent to be governed by the will of the people. Your democracy does not apply to me. My person is just an investment. That's it.
So, but making those declarations, I guess, and that's one of my things that I would like to do. It's almost like at some point I would like to let my government know. I'm in Florida, actually. But I would like to let my government know, not so much the state but the federal government, that fuck you. You know, I know what you're doing, and I'm not down with it anymore. And I almost want them to know who I am, because I sure as hell know who they are. They infringe on us every single day. Yet they don't even know who I am.
And I love this. This is getting good.
I'd like to let them know. You know, it's kind of aggravating me, and I'm kind of to the point where, you know, I appreciate the fact that you're willing to come on and throw your name out there and be involved in it, but I don't think you should be alone. And I want there to be an avenue for me to for me to throw the middle finger up at them and just let them know that I know what the hell's going on. But at the same time, you know, like you're saying, the person should benefit us when we want it to. And I tell you what, when I travel outside of this country, you're damn right I want people to think that I am a full U.S. citizen. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Because that has weight to it. I can't just go down to Colombia or to Panama or to wherever else I go and say, no, I'm a free man, I'm just here. That doesn't work. You know, there's a lot of protection with that passport and with that visa. So I don't want to give up all of it. But at the same time, I will give all of it up if I have to. That makes no difference to me. No,
but again, remember, you don't want to be the wrong type of U.S. citizen.
Sure.
Right? The 14th Amendment citizen, the citizen of the United States that's based in Washington, D.C., is not the proper citizen of the land. It is not a state citizen. That's a foreigner. A federal citizen is not a citizen of the United States.
Sure.
They've done everything they can to kind of blur those lines so people, they think that just the word citizen means only one thing. There are many types of citizens. Lowercase c citizen, which isn't a proper noun. Uppercase c citizen, which is the proper noun. Yeah, there you go, we the people. The same way that the Constitution does not say we the people with a lowercase p. It says we the people with an uppercase p. Uppercase c citizen. I'm a citizen of the land. I'm a citizen of the constitutional state that I live in. I am a state citizen, capital C. I know, and just contact them. Tell the federal government, say, I know you're fucking scam now. I know what's going on. Take your democracy, shove it up your ass. You willfully misled me. You willfully deceived me into believing that you are the constitutional republic. You're not. I never intended to join your crap. I want nothing to do with it. I never have. This is your notice to leave me alone.
Right.
I don't consent to be governed by the will of the people. This is your notice. Remember, no notice, no injury. If you haven't given somebody notice, then how are they supposed to know?
Right. And would I have a remedy if I send something like that in just to make my declaration and they say to me, okay, well, you don't need a passport anymore? Do I have a leg to stand on there? I'm not trying to deny my person or to abandon my person. I just want to make sure that they understand that I know exactly who they are.
Tell them to make sure that they've given you a proper passport.
Ah, okay.
Again,
okay.
You think there's only one type of passport?
Sure, there's only one I've seen.
There you go, yeah, you know, exactly. But there's about eight that we now know of. We've been doing some research into this, and the passport that most people have has it says type P. There's different types of passport, type P passport. And we always make jokes that stands for peasant or peon, right? Which we might even turn out to be right on that, just kind of making jokes about it. But there's different types of passport. Well, I guess it depends on who you are then, right?
Right.
The all caps name stays the same. But who is the person in the photo? The man. What is his title? What's his rank? What is his capacity? That's the important part.
Right. That makes
sense. We're all just man, but after man, it's nothing but title and capacity. Office. That's it.
Nice. Well, good, man. I appreciate you taking the time out to answer my question for me. That was something I've been pondering on. And if I could say just two more things real quick, I'll cut it short. I know there's probably other people who want to talk. But first of all, Dean, don't get too frustrated with people when they ask the same stupid questions over and over and over.
No, I definitely don't. I understand how hard it is to grasp these concepts at first and to start to consolidate them and just to have it become second nature. I understand that. I think I'd mentioned that because I tried learning a couple things about the website, and I was like, oh, my God, now I know what it feels to be somebody who just heard real law for the first time.
Right.
I have no idea what you just said, and I couldn't do that again if you paid me.
When I discovered all of this a year and a half ago, I felt like I woke up for the first time in my whole life, but it took me 6 months to come to grips with the fact that I had been, even as a man, I had been lied to and deceived my entire adult life even. And it was like, son of a bitch, I have to own up to the fact that I've been a dumbass. You know, I'm the one that slumbered on my rights. And actually my dad did, and probably my grandfather and maybe my great-grandfather. But we're the one that fell asleep on this. It's nobody's fault except ours.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? At one time,
yep,
we all knew who we were. And then we just allowed the government to come in, and I guess for creature comforts, we allowed them to just strip us of who we were. So.
Yep, I love that. Hey, let me add to that, actually, because I like what I just saw something on the chat board here, and this is something else I've covered in the past, and this is going to be good for everybody listening out there tonight as well. I guess it's Mika Sanders that said, I'm not the owner, I am the president. I've talked about this in past shows before and seminars that I've done where I told people, hey, look, your person is no different than the United States of America, because the United States of America is just a person. That's all it is. It's a person. Didn't Mitt Romney there spill the beans when he said corporations are people too? Corporations are persons.
Right.
Well, the United States is a corporation. It's a person. Your person is a corporation. It's a person. It's a trust. Okay?
Right.
Well, I won't get into that. Let's just say that we could clarify that topic more. But again, I just make generalities here. Okay.
Okay.
So
yeah,
if you don't want to show up to court as the owner, who's the most powerful person in the American government?
It should be us.
No, it's the president. It's the president. Right? Isn't he the chief executive officer? Commander in chief. Nothing gets done without the president's consent, right? Nothing.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, what happens when you are the commander in chief or the president CEO of your person?
Yeah. Nice.
These are just different avenues. None of these are specific solutions for everybody to follow. There is so many different things that you can do with what's available to you.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Okay,
man. Let me ask you just one more, and this is kind of
We need to move on to the next questions here. I think we need to put a little restriction of you ask a question, you get it answered, you ask a second question, and then we move on. If you want to ask another question, make it real quick.
Okay, it'd be real fast. Man, I would really like what you guys are doing with the website. Just one small suggestion, maybe, if we could get, you know, we like how you're not, I like how you're not necessarily giving out all the quick answers, but we can do research and you give us leads and that kind of thing. But maybe in a video format, something like YouTube, to have a section of it where you have a video and underneath you have some links to some stuff, because it takes a long time to research. I know you've been doing it.
We're actually working on that. Alex just put up a video thing on there, and as soon as I get settled down here with work in the new year, I'm going to get around to making a whole batch of videos that I want to put out there. So that is absolutely coming up.
Good work.
All right, bud.
Okay, thanks a lot. If you could do me a favor, if you can do me a favor and press 1 again so you lower your hand so I don't confuse you with the next, that would be great. Thanks. Okay, our next caller, area code 786, ending in 7702. Your name, please.
Yes, Matt.
Hi, Matt. How you doing?
All right. I'm going to keep this real brief. I just had a question for Dean. And by the way, good stuff. I'm kind of new to this. Is there, and I know that you said that, you know, you wasn't really big on this, but, you know, do you have any titles as far as... what do you call it, those contracting books? I really feel like I need a title so I can start looking just to start off. And then I'll just start
like
doing my own.
The title of a book?
Yes, like a contracting book.
I actually don't. You know what? I've actually never read a book on contracting because I did it the hard way, and I started up a construction company and just learned the hard way what a good contract is and what a bad contract is. I really would like to get around to reading one. That's a very good question. I'd like for somebody maybe can post something on here about what a good contract law book is, a contracting book, and maybe that could be maybe something I'll put up on the resource section of the website here right away then too. Here's a great book on contracting law. It's been recommended by a bunch of people kind of thing. So other than that, again, just unfortunately, just go online and just enter, just look one up. I hate to say it. Something maybe that's been published by somebody who is a professor at a law school, Yale, Harvard, something like that. Those are usually good places to start. And anytime I do a search for things, that's all I do. I said, well, I don't know, who would I probably want to listen to more than anybody? Bam. And then that's when I go and look up a book. So there's already about eight up on here. We got George Mercier. We got Carson's Invisible Contracts. People are putting ones up on the board right now as we speak. So there you go.
Okay, thanks.
Brian Bloom on contracts. There's another one.
Okay, got it. So just one last thing. So let's say if I went about the whole tax, receiving taxes, would it be accurate to say that, just like you worded earlier tonight, like that I'm the creditor?
Yeah, last part again?
That I'm the creditor instead of saying that I'm the beneficiary, because like you said, a beneficiary can also be the trustee, but what if I'm the creditor?
Well, I would say no on that. There's people that would argue me on that. I would say in no uncertain terms, absolutely not can the beneficiary be a trustee.
I agree.
Absolutely not.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm
it's okay. One excludes the possibility of the other. If you're the beneficiary, you cannot possibly be the trustee.
Matt, what I suggest is this episode, I think either episode one or the pilot that we did on conscious living with Dean, I think it was on trust law, either one of those two episodes, but he goes in depth into that, and I suggest maybe you listen to that one again if you haven't listened to it already.
Oh, I haven't. I will. I'll definitely do it.
Okay, great.
All right.
If you can press one again, just so to lower your hand, and from the question queue, that'd be great. The first caller as well, you still have not pressed one. Please do that so it puts you down at the bottom of the list, so I don't get confused. Thanks, Matt.
Okay,
going on to the next. Go ahead.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I was just
going to
say that I was going to. All right.
All right, night, bud.
Okay, next caller. I believe it's Jesse.
Yeah, that'd be me. Calling
go ahead.
On
Skype. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, Jesse Neal here from Sault Ste. Marie. Good to connect with you, Dean.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going pretty good, you know, staying free in Sault Ste. Marie. We were talking about detaxing earlier, and I just wanted to point out, about a year ago, I was looking into all this detaxing stuff, and I really haven't done it yet. But about a year ago, I was looking into it, and if you actually went on the CRA website, the very first line of the very first fucking paragraph said, you do not need to file an income tax return. And then it continued on to say, but you might want to if, with a bunch of conditions. Their whole website is simply a contract, like an offer to contract.
Yeah, they can't come right out and tell you that you're required to file. So it's just, and they always have, like, I think they got, like, the detax myths part of that website up now, too, where they try to dispel myths about income taxes and income tax detaxes and whatnot. So, yeah, it's just a little bit of research. That's all people have to do, is a little bit of their own research. And, it's self-evident if you don't have to.
Well,
it doesn't take much.
Like, the way you talk, like, I'm totally on the same page as you as far as, I mean, it's just simple basic logic when everything boils down to it. But, you know, that was one of the things I ran by a bunch of my buddies here. And, I mean, everybody always gives you all the flap about yada, 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 you got to file taxes. Everybody has to pay taxes. Even, like, I got a bunch of buddies here who are doing some of this stuff, but they got documents they're sending away to, like, so many different bodies of the legislation, including like the United Nations and everything else, and they're trying to push me into sending all these documents. And the problem is I don't even understand it. So how the fuck can I back it up? You know?
Yep, that's exactly it. I guess if they can overwhelm you and they can get you to think that it's far too complicated for you to ever understand it, it must apply to you. There's no way you could ever argue because it's far too complex.
Well,
and that's actually a maxim of law. Laws are supposed to be simple and understandable by the common man.
Well,
if they're not,
man,
then they're no law at all.
Fuck you! Like, how do you follow it, right? But yeah, I don't know. I can't seem to bring people down. I mean, everybody likes to kind of get into this and learn about it, but I can't seem to just bring people down to taking what they're taking. Like all this complicated shit and make something simple out of it. It doesn't have to be as complicated as they make it seem.
No, and that's another great defense in court, by the way, too, is every time they try to tell you you need a lawyer, well, you ask a question, well, clearly you don't understand what's going on here. I think you should get a lawyer. And then your response to that should be, excuse me, are you calling me stupid? Are you trying to tell me that you cannot explain this to me in simple terms, what's going on here? That I'm too stupid to understand what any of you are talking about if you phrase it in layman's terms for the common man to understand? Is that what you're trying to tell me? I'm too stupid to understand what's going on here? Or you're just incapable of explaining this in a way that a rational and common man could understand. Which one is it? And turn everything around on them. Turn it all around on them.
Okay, Jesse.
Say, hey, if this is a law and this applies to me, then you explain it how that's possible in terms I can understand. Unless you think I'm too stupid to understand your grandiose laws. Like, they don't like that kind of stuff. Then you get into the discrimination angle and all sorts of nasty stuff that they just don't want to address. That makes them really uncomfortable.
Okay, thanks a lot, Jesse. I had to mute your mic because there's a lot of noise in the background, but thanks for your contribution. Please press 1 again to get you off the queue. Clint on the chat room said, Dean, rant as much as you want. That's when you seem to be your best, and I kind of agree. you've got both our supports about the ranting. All
yeah,
right,
actually, there's a guy on there also that said that that when I'm ranting, sometimes it sounds like it's because I'm exasperated with newbies kind of thing. It's not. Not at all, actually. I probably come across like that sometimes, but that also comes with 15 years of trying to explain this to people, too. So. But no, don't ever think that I'm trying to deter people or make them feel stupid because they're just getting involved. So I just like to go off every once in a while, but I usually try to direct it more at the government. So I'm usually ridiculing them, not the people just getting involved and starting to learn this stuff.
Okay, I kind of agree with that. Okay, so next caller. All I have showing for you is all ones. I guess you're calling from Skype. Can you please give us your name?
Hello?
Yeah, that would be you. Give
Hello?
Us your name, please. Give us your name.
My name is Sean.
Sean. Go ahead with your question, Sean.
Hi. I wanted to ask you about Queen's printer, Dean. I was wondering if it would be good to walk into court with like a certified copy of the Constitution Act.
Oh, they know that document very well. Now, let me ask you a question. For what purpose?
Well, I've got a little, actually, ironically, I'm just not too far from you. I'm out of Regina, but I got pulled over for driving without a logbook. Now, I don't drive for a living. Never have driven for a living. Never made a dime off of driving. And the guy actually just pulled this crap that he was giving me a warning, and the next thing you know, I got a charge out of Brandon for driving without a logbook. They got a default conviction on me, and they said I have a chance for a court de novo.
Okay.
Now, I was just planning on writing them a letter and basically telling them that what this guy had said to me, that I was just given a warning, and because I took the paper, I made the mistake of not reading it properly or reading it through, and so I was just planning on writing them a letter and telling them, because they give you that form that you're supposed to fill out that says basically you're guilty or not guilty, and I wasn't going to send that back. All I was going to do is write a letter and say, look, this is the situation. I don't belong to the province of Manitoba. I'm not part of the government of Manitoba. But that was the situation, and I was wondering if I should get a copy of the Constitution Act, a certified copy, and then when I'm asking the officer on the stand if he had a certified copy of the regulation. I know it sounds stupid, but it's just a start for me because I got a lot of other major issues to deal with. For example, I'm an ex-father and I haven't seen my daughter in 13 years. I also haven't filed since 1989.
Excellent.
I've paid taxes up till 2001, and since 2001 I've never paid a dime in tax.
Okay, so you're owed some money back. A certified copy of the Constitution is not going to do you a lot of good. They know what that document is. The only reason I ever really bring that stuff up, and again, this is me and Mike have had wonderful debates on this in
mm-hmm.
private, and the reason he doesn't prescribe to that at all is exactly why I would actually recommend that people don't prescribe to that. And it's the same problem that Americans fall for. They believe that the American Constitution is what grants them their rights. And without that document, they don't have any. And a certified copy of the Constitution, Charter of Rights and Freedoms, is not going to do you any good anyways because it doesn't apply to you.
I'm thinking of it a slightly different angle than I think you're thinking. I'm thinking of going in and saying, I have a certified copy of a document, of one of your documents.
Yep.
Could you show me a certified copy of one of your documents? And ask the officer, have you ever seen a certified copy of this document?
Yep.
And that, I mean, because from what I'm getting from you, there's like thousands of different ways to look at this. And I was thinking of going into them and saying, look, here's what I've got. Can you show me what you have? And I'm willing to bet that they don't have that, and they don't have that in the court. I'm not going to say 100%, but I'm guessing they don't have a Queen's printer document of every ruling in Manitoba.
Well, no, that's actually in their own law books as well, by the way, that whatever law they are currently prosecuting, they have to have a mm-hmm. certified copy of that law in the courtroom at the time. So I would agree with that as well. Right? And then ask all sorts of questions like this. Just hold up that document. See, I have right here a certified copy of your Constitution. Is this or is this not your laws? Is this not what you are bound by? And they're going to have to say yes. Now you say, you show me in here where any of this applies to me. You show me in this document, your supreme law, where any of your crap and nonsense applies to me, a private man. But, of course, that's not the claim they're making in the court. Again, that's why I wanted to cover that earlier. What they're claiming against you and the presumptions and assumptions they're operating off of in provincial court are that you are within the scope of government. You are a licensed driver under the Highway Traffic Act. That's their claim. Okay? So you want to ask them, you want to ask that cop questions.
Oh, of course. And I'd actually, I mean, it's a pain in the ass for me to go to Brandon to deal with this, right? I'm in Regina.
Yeah.
And
then don't.
But, pardon me, so just write the letters? Just write the letters?
I wouldn't actually want to answer that in a specific manner. Let me think on that for a second.
No, you don't have to. I mean, I'm trying to think a little bit differently how to go about this, and that's why I was thinking maybe it would become useful in the future to have a certified copy to take that type of argument into court.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen.
Except I'm trying to get away from all that. Again, you shouldn't have to take that stuff
with you. The laws apply to them, right? So it does have application. And that's sort of the way I'm thinking about it. It applies to them. It has application. So the minute you start, this is real.
The minute you start bringing that document in, though, they're just going to say, Mr. So-and-so, if you're making a charter challenge, you have to blah, 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 blah. There's a procedure to that and yada, 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 yada. That's all they're going to do, which means it's going to drag it out to about eight different hearings.
Now, I thought about that, too. I thought about that.
Yep.
And that was the whole point of bringing this in, was the fact that I was going to deny that the charter had any application to me whatsoever.
Yep.
That it only applies to the courts and
yep.
to their officers performing a
yep.
function of government. And I'd like to see your certified copy and where it applies to me. And
have at it. Let me know what happens. I pretty much already have my suspicions as to where that's going to go, and you're going to wind up with multiple hearings you're going to have to keep going back to Brandon for. So I would find some way to take care of that by registered mail, probably just by contacting the cop and saying, excuse me, but what makes you believe that I'm within the scope of government?
See, that's the problem. They won't give me his identification. They say part of the Privacy Act. I've already contacted Manitoba, and they said, we will not.
Whoa, hang on. Public servant. Are they trying to say that he was operating in his private capacity at the time he wrote that ticket? This is why you need to send registered mail to people.
They will not release
the name of the officer?
Under the Privacy Act of Manitoba is what they said. I was talking to MCE, and they will not.
I don't know what
name.
That is.
Said, well, you know, he said, oh, it's the transport safety guys.
Yeah, no. Okay, that's absolutely the stupidest thing I've ever heard of in my life. If he is a peace officer, a public servant, performing under his duties, they cannot conceal his identity from you.
They did, and they will not give it out. They gave me a badge number only, and they said the only way that we're going to give that information out is if a judge agrees to it. And first I have to go to court in Brandon.
That's all horseshit. Okay, and then what you do is you contact the public safety minister next, and you name him, and say, since your agents are concealing the identity of this guy,
mm-hmm.
I'm naming you, because you're liable for that.
Okay.
So I'm going to charge you as if you were the one that damaged me, that harmed me. False claims have been made against me. Now you're going to answer for those false claims until you disclose the identity of your public servant that damaged me. Until you disclose his identity.
You don't happen to know who the public safety officer in Manitoba is, offhand, do you?
The Minister of Public Safety? Sure, he's on the internet.
Oh, okay.
Just look it up.
I will.
Yep.
No,
you're liable. Until you tell me who it is, I'm going to name you.
All right.
Okay.
Privacy Act, my ass.
Thanks, Sean.
They said they will not identify anybody.
Also, that's the other reason you never contact these people by phone. Never contact them by phone. Contact them in writing in a provable way, or record the conversation. Record the conversation where some idiot is trying to tell you that it's a violation of the Privacy Act to tell you the name of the officer. That is the biggest pile of shit I've ever heard in my life. And get their name. Oh, I'm not giving you my name. That's private, too. Oh, really? Everything's private now, is it? So you're a private government. Thank you for confessing to the fact that you are now a private government, which makes it even more unlikely that it's even remotely possible for you to enforce your horse shit against me if you're private, because I have nothing to do with you. Thank you. See you in court, dickhead.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah.
You got to turn everything around on them. Say, oh, okay, well, if this is all privacy violations now, then you people are violating my privacy. Because you're using my name on public on public court documents now. That's a violation of privacy.
Mm-hmm.
So you people are now violating the Privacy Act according to you. Because if you're private, so am I. which means that you people have plastered my name all over the public court dockets, which means you violated my privacy. Good. Remember, law applies equally or it doesn't apply at all, right? Turn
awesome.
Everything
yeah,
that they
no,
say
no.
into a round on
gotcha.
Them.
All right.
Perfect.
And just
okay.
one little minor
okay,
question. I got to go.
Make it quick.
I don't have PayPal. How can I send a donation and get on? I don't have a
oh,
bank.
Oh, man, we're working on all sorts. We're trying. We're looking into Bitcoin. We're looking into I got a couple of people who are just sending me mail. I think we're going to provide a P.O. box or something like that for people to be able to contact us, too. So, but just message on the website there. Let me know who you were, and we'll get something figured out.
Actually, you
okay,
don't
I haven't
need,
had
you
a bank account in 11 years, so
Sean,
I'll let
yeah.
somebody else go on. Thanks. Okay,
Sean,
bye.
Sean, you don't need PayPal if you wish to donate. As long as Dean has a donate button on his site, when you click on it, it gives you the option to either sign into your PayPal account or to just use your credit card.
I don't have a bank account.
Oh.
I haven't had a bank account in 11 years.
Okay, so you don't
yeah,
have
don't
a
be, don't
card.
Be afraid of bank accounts. Don't be afraid of that anymore. And also,
okay, I don't
anytime
have a
I'm ever...
number, I don't have a health card. I don't have any of that.
Yeah, well, that's actually
years.
Yeah, the no health card is a good thing. So, but see, now that's living proof of the problem with just leaving the system altogether. It makes things it can make things very difficult and inconvenient.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Sean.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
If you can please press 1 again to get yourself off the queue, that'd be great. Speaking of donations, I want to just tell our listeners that we thank you for donating to Dean's work, but also on Global Facts, the Facebook group, I posted there that we also need people to help out with the costs for this show. So far from July, when I started doing the Global Fact Radio, I've been basically covering the expenses myself. In November, some people donated, and we thank you for that. We covered the cost for November. Nobody donated for December. I covered the cost of that again myself. We did get enough for January. Thank you for that. But if you can donate whatever you can afford just to help keep the show going, I'm sure you guys are all benefiting from this show. So to keep it going, that would be great. If you wish to donate, at the moment, the only way you can do it by using the Send Money feature in PayPal. So if you have a PayPal account, log into your account and click on Send Money and then use my email address, tony@globalfact2012.com. Globalfact2012.com. I'll actually put it in the chat room right now. Okay, that's a new PayPal account that I created for Global Fact Radio. You'll see it would say on there Global Fact Radio, so that money goes towards the show. In the next week or so, we have a guy who's doing our website. He's going to be putting up an actual temporary page with a donate button, so that way you don't need an actual PayPal account to pay. You can just use a credit card. But till then, unfortunately, that's the only way you can do it for now. Dean,
yeah, man,
wouldn't
it be great to have the resources of Alex Jones, but up here in Canada?
Exactly, yeah. That was a doozy, the article on your page there about Alex Jones. I really enjoyed that. I was actually part of that discussion. Okay, we got 15 minutes left. I was hoping to cover a lot more of the questions within the 2 hour. If it's okay with you going overtime again, because we still have a lot of questions to go.
Yeah. Oh, and okay. I should clarify that I actually do love Alex Jones, by the way.
Oh, so you think he's on the up and up?
Well, no, I've said before and I'll say again, I don't even care if he is controlled opposition. It's mostly speculation. You'll never know anyways. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. But, man, he is out there ranting and stirring up shit and just getting people going, which I love, no matter what. He wakes people up. I've said that many, many, many times. I think this a few of the things he does can be counterproductive. Like there's certain times, certain interviews perhaps maybe where a little bit more tact might help to wake up more mainstream people. you've already got all the nutcases. That's a joke, by the way, quotation marks, nutcases. Like, he gets 1 million people a day to his website, right? CNN only wish they had those numbers. I think it actually is beneath him to have to go to CNN and go on there, but he's reaching more and new people. And that was my only real point, is that CNN is a whole new group of people. He can already rant like that on his own website and still reach 1 million people a day. But when he's going on a something like CNN, he's going to be talking to more mainstream people that are used to listening to a boring, unmitigated ass like Piers Morgan. So you want to be, you want to appear better than him. That was just, you don't want to come across like you do normally to your everyday listeners as it is. That was my only real point with that. So I think that was a bad strategy. But, hey, who cares? He's reaching 1 million people a day. So good for him for waking people up.
Okay, so moving on to the next question. Let me see here. Where did I leave off? We have no more callers that want to ask. So next one is, what is the best course of action to stop CRA garnishment action that is already happening?
Well, and actually listening to prior episodes would answer most of this, so go back and listen to them, but we'll speak on this again real quick. Number one, if you read the Consumer Protection Act, for whatever province you live in, there's going to be a clause in there about when you contact somebody who's claiming a debt by registered mail and counterclaim and present them with a counterclaim or demand that they prove up the claim, which is, in essence, a counterclaim, and they don't reply. Basically, they have to cease all collection until they take the matter to court. Okay? Requirements to pay, RTPs, are internal documents at CRA. They are not court orders. The organization that obeys them is liable for obeying it. Toronto Dominion Bank has lost multi-million dollar lawsuits for obeying RTPs and either freezing or withdrawing money from a customer's account, and that customer sued them and won because RTPs are unenforceable. So registered mail should get that to stop, and or also threatening the people that are allowing the RTP to have force and effect and notifying them that they're liable because these things have no force or effect. There's case law out there on the matter that says that RTPs are of no force or effect, and anybody obeying one is liable for whatever they obey.
Okay?
A letter from CRA is not law.
All right. I just wanted to remind everybody, we're down to 12 minutes. And unfortunately, what we found out the hard way last week is once the live stream cuts out, you can no longer dial into the show. So if you wish to continue listening, because we're going to go over time till we cover as many questions as we can, you have to dial in to continue listening. Otherwise, you'd have to wait till the archive is done, and then you can listen to the archive file. So at the top of the hour, the live stream will cut off, but we will continue on. And if you dial into the show, you can continue on with us. The number to dial is 646-478-5728. 646-478-5728. Someone had asked last week also in one of the questions if we can say on the air Dean's website. It's deanclifford.info. Okay, that's Dean Clifford, DeanClifford.info, and you have to navigate your way to get to the forum. And to contribute to the forum or to ask questions there, you have to make a monthly donation of, what is it, $10 or $15, Dean?
Yeah, there's instructions on there. I think we try to keep it to a minimum, and a lot of the people that are on there now, we had a discussion even last night about how much we should be asking from people to, and it works for keeping trolls off. Anybody who's been paying attention to my Facebook page would know there's a lot of trolls out there, especially recently. There was a big blow up the other day there that we had some fun on Facebook absolutely ridiculing somebody until I think they even left Facebook, but they turned out to be a troll. So we keep those people off of the forum unless they want to pay the fee, and then they want to come in and they want to troll and get banned. We're okay with that. We'll keep your $15. Yeah, somebody put the name up there from the Facebook thing. So that's the kind of people we're trying to keep off of our forum. And that's why we can't just make it a free-for-all for everybody to sign up, because there'd just be chaos there. There almost already is, actually. We got to get caught up with everything that's going on around there. I wasn't expecting there to be that many people and that many posts on there already, actually. And I got to get some new videos up and running here, too. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I apologize. There hasn't been any new videos. And I think we're going to make the Toronto conference, when I get the tapes, available to people on the forum for free, as well as the people. All anybody has to do that was at the Toronto forum or at the Toronto seminar is to contact me, and I'll make sure they get it as well. And then it'll be available for people on the forum.
Yes. Just like Martin Sutton said, if you want to dial in, do so before the top of the hour. Once the top hour rolls around, once the live stream is cut, you can no longer dial in. And to answer Jessica's, yeah, it is free on the call, on the cell. Actually, it's free if you just go to our episode page, which is what you're listening to right now. You'll see where the call-in number is. To the right of that, you will see a Skype logo, or Skype icon, I should say. If you click on that Skype icon, you'll have some screen prompts to answer, and then it becomes a Skype-to-Skype call. So you don't even have to use your cell phone, and then it'll be free. So I guess from the cell phone, no, it will not be free. You'll be charged long distance. Okay, moving on to our next question. Let me see here. Okay. How do I communicate to an employer that they don't need to comply with CRA garnishment orders? Well, I guess you covered that already.
Show them the case law. Go and dig it up. It's out there regarding RTPs. And then just and even ask them, say, look, you guys may want to contact CRA and ask them to produce some form of evidence or a proof of claim that these RTPs are enforceable, because it's my understanding you guys are liable if you actually enforce them, not CRA, because you're actually obeying something that is not a court order and has no force of law. That makes you liable. Say, and I'll have to sue you guys for obeying it. So, and I'll win. So that's how you rationally bring that to their attention.
Okay,
but that's not really addressing the problem. Once you address the CRA problem and you get all the capacities fixed, that should cease to be a problem anyways. That's just a symptom of the problem. Never attack the symptom. I always go after what's causing the problem.
Okay, Guitar Boss asks, I no longer pay tax. How will this affect my importing of goods now from overseas? CRA and customs communicate very closely.
Well, I would say that if you're bringing in something from overseas, that you would be paying whatever importing tariffs are due on bringing stuff into this commercial zone. I can't see how that would have absolutely any relevance to income tax or CRA. So, and if they try and force, if Canada Customs tries like preventing you from being able to import, based on the fact that they're claiming that maybe you owe income taxes or something like that, I would say that brings up a whole other ball of wax with regards to agencies of government conspiring with one another, first of all. And then the other thing you tell them is, okay, tell you what, if you guys are going to start that shit, then how about I leave your commercial zone altogether, which means that I might be bringing this stuff to the landmass, but I'm not bringing it into your commercial zone, because your commercial zone is just a sales territory. It has no bearing or no correspondence to this landmass. So take your democracy, shove it up your ass. I'm now a sovereign, independent nation, and I'm going to be importing stuff into my own commercial zone, which means you have absolutely no authority over it in the first place, which means I'm not even paying your importing tariffs anymore. You can go fuck yourself. You just screwed yourself out of another client. Goodbye. If they want to be dicks, we can leave altogether. They can either start obeying their own laws, or they'll have nobody left. Nobody left. I prefer that one anyways. I'm already at that point. Piss on them. Let them be the king of an empire of dirt. Who's going to look more stupid? Us, when we build our own new nation and replace these idiots, or them, when there's five of them sitting around in a room and that's all that's left of their stupid fucking nation? Five of them sitting around passing new laws that apply to the five of them. good for you guys. You guys are geniuses. Okay? That's how you take people like this down. So this is no different than the people who contact the government and say, oh, you want me to collect GST off people? Not a problem. I'll go do that. But I'm going to charge you 90% of what I'm collecting to administrate it. If you're not happy with that, then I'm more than happy to give you 100% of nothing. I'm not going to collect your tax at all. If you want to be a dick, I can be a dick. And I got more power because I simply don't have to do business with you at all. You people need us, not the other way around. I don't need you, but you need us. You better start being a little nicer to me because I can leave. That's how you handle those idiots when you're importing stuff. Again, remember, who's the authority here? It's us. So start talking like it.
Okay, great. We have a caller that has his hand up. Caller, I'll get to you in a moment since we're down to the end of the last 3 minutes. I want to get as many questions off the chat room as possible. But we'll get to you in just a moment here. Okay, next question is, do you think there must be a huge hole in the Canadian Constitution that creates an unfileable void between the Queen and the Parliament of Canada?
Oh, boy, I'm not even sure if I understand that one. Again, my belief on this is that any agreement between you and the Queen would be a private one just between you and her, number one, because technically speaking, there is no more monarchy in the first place. I think the Crown is just the Crown Corporation, and every single one of these corporations is a sub-corporation, which means she's just the head of state. She's the head of that franchise when you get to the very top. She's like, there might be a million McDonald's restaurants in the world, but she's the CEO of, like, head office. So she is head office, and she's the top office at head office. And that all filters down through the franchises. And that's all that happened when Canada was given the right to govern itself. It's the franchise of Canada was given the authority to start passing its own laws without checking with head office, without checking with the UK first. It's free to go and just pass its own acts and statutes. So it's different than McDonald's. They're obviously making their Big Macs a little bit differently, and they don't have to check with McDonald's head office before they start offering new products. That's all that's going on here. Again, that's the mistake people are making between when they hear the word the Crown, they're automatically thinking Queen Elizabeth. So however that answers that question, I can't say I understood the question perfectly, so hopefully that related to it somewhat.
Okay, next question is from a lady by the name of Thyra or Thyra. I'm not sure if I pronounced it right. If I did it wrong, please accept my apology, and thank you for your donation. Wouldn't the mortgage grantor scenario work the same way with any court case? Meaning the grantor accused... by the way, I just got a notification from... the system that there's 90 seconds left, so in exactly that time the live stream will be cut. So if you're not dialed in yet, this is the time to dial in before the live stream cuts, otherwise you won't be able to. And the only way you're going to be able to hear the answers to the remaining questions will be on the archive later. Alright, so continuing on, meaning the grantor / accused is the one answering the indictment and signing bond. The trust res is the case, funding is the estate, in brackets BC. We as accused are confused as to who is the beneficiary, is like borrowers. Can we cancel the debt ordered by a court? It's the bank and the estate deposited the funds. Aren't they foreclosing when you get tossed into the gray bar motel? Is the presumed nexus of contract really the DL, the driver's license application, and voter registration? If so, rescinding those contracts or redefining the terms seems too simple. Am I off base here?
Actually, surprisingly, no. Very on base, from what I understood from all that. Instead of canceling the debt, you can take a little piece of advice from the Bible, and you can always forgive debt. But again, that's in a different capacity. You can't forgive the debt if you're the debtor. Only the creditor can do that. So that's where the difference between the two capacities come in there. And again, that's why you can't go into court. They've summoned the officer. They've summoned the officer of the government. So if you show up there and you refuse to appear in the capacity that you've been summoned in, that's why they issue warrants for people even though they're actually standing in the courtroom. In fact, that actually proves exactly what we're trying to say. Well, I refuse to appear in the capacity you've summoned me in. I'm here, but I refuse to appear in the capacity you've summoned me in. Okay, so they issue a warrant for your arrest to come and get you, and they'll bring you back in chains to appear in that capacity. If that doesn't prove the whole capacity game right from the outset, then nothing ever will. So that tells you right there it's exactly what's going on. So you cannot show up as somebody who has no right to forgive the debt. So you got to make sure you get that all clarified. This is where it actually, where the registered mail outside of the courts and everything comes in handy, or the old show up for court special appearance and there's been a mistake. These people have made a false claim. I'm not that, it's not even possible for me to be acting in that capacity. Do they have any witnesses? Blah, 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 blah. Get into all that kind of stuff. And again, the driver's license, I don't even think it's necessary to surrender it, void the contract, whatever. Again, it's just one possible capacity for you. It doesn't mean that everything you do is under that license. It could turn out that absolutely nothing you ever do falls under the authority of that license, which is the correct argument. They can't ever prove you were operating under that license. Again, and that's the reason I bring up those arguments that we've talked about in past shows about, well, what function of government are you claiming I performed, right? So right away, people want to run out there and start testifying in court. The first things out of their mouth is, well, I wasn't performing a function of government, when they should be asking, what function of government are you claiming I was performing at the time of the complaint? If they can't answer that, then you motion to dismiss immediately. That's it. Ask them. Get them to testify, or get them to not be able to answer. So turn that all around on them. But you shouldn't have to get rid of the driver's license. I think I heard. So what was the other part about that? Not just the driver's license, but the something else.
Okay, let me see here.
At the very end there, driver's license and one other thing.
Voter registration.
Yeah, I don't think you need to get rid of that. It's an option. You can vote. You have the right to vote or not to vote. I personally like opting out altogether, because unlike co-op gas stations where you appoint where you can take part in the voting for a new director, and if it turns out that my shares for that year didn't return or perform the way I wanted them to, then as a shareholder I can go and vote in a new director who apparently will put co-op in the proper direction to make more money so that my shares get me more cents back every year. That's all Canada is. It's the same damn concept. But to be honest with you, I don't take part in the voting at co-op gas stations because I don't care who's the director. I don't think it's really going to make that much of a difference. And we know for a fact it certainly is not going to make a difference when it comes to Canada. They're just a bad investment in the first place.
Okay.
So feel free to I call that like the protest. That's the protest option. You're protesting by contacting them and saying, you know what? You're all just a bunch of miserable bastards in the first place, and I really want nothing to do with you, and I'm going to prove that by deregistering to even vote. You can kiss my ass. I want nothing to do with y'all. That's kind of the only reason to really even do that. That's why I keep that. There's multiple options. I'm not telling people to do anything. It's your choice. But I like that, right? Because I think it sends a clear message that we just don't even care anymore. Oh, and that actually is valid, by the way, too, because it turns out that when a government receives less than 50%, when less than 50% of the eligible voters even turn up to vote, they don't have a mandate. Even by their standards, they're not a legitimate government, and they're not legitimate in the first place. But even by their standards, they're not even legitimate anymore. They have no mandate.
Okay, we're going to go to a live caller, area code 306, ending in 9879. Your name, please.
Paul.
Hi, Paul. Go ahead with your question.
Got a question for Dean. With putting everything in trust, like putting your house in trust, your vehicles in trust, is that a good thing?
Well, you know, title for it already is in trust. So the legal title to everything in Canada, if it was imported into Canada, the legal title is being held in trust. So
okay.
If it operates the way it's supposed to, I would say, yes, it's a very good thing. I'm okay with that, unless we want to go back to the days where your bill of sale is the only proof of claim in existence, which means you have to fend off marauding Vikings robbers and other people from simply, I guess, what, I don't know, burning your house down, then you no longer have proof that you own anything. There is a good purpose for it, but that's being abused so badly now that I think people are rethinking whether or not it is even of benefit to use that kind of a system anymore. I think it is. I think that we just don't know how to use it yet. I think that if you learned how to use it properly and they still continue to do the shit they're doing right now, then you're well within your right to say, yeah, you know what, I think you've proven that you people aren't trustworthy, which is pretty much one of the core concepts of a trust. So I'm out of here. Bye. Give it all back.
Well,
give it all back. I want it all back.
Okay, I'm just the reason why I'm asking is my brother is meeting with a group of guys at once a month in Saskatoon here, and they're saying put everything in trust, that way the CRA can't get a hold of it and creditors can't touch it, but someone else controls the trust, which is my concern. I want to control it myself. Hello?
Yeah, it's supposed to be, well, because that's the same concept, because you give it all to trustees, right? Administrators and trustees. It's all supposed to be arm's length. You know what? I think that's an overly complicated solution. I don't think it's a solution. I think that actually compounds the problem.
You do.
My whole problem
is
this shit is already so complicated. Now we're going to start creating more trusts and more legal fictions. Most people can't even handle the legal fiction they have right now, and they want to start making the problem worse by making it four times worse. Now we've got other trusts, and now we've got this, now we've got that. I mean, man, you want to talk the opposite of back to basics? Well, you got it right there.
Okay. Well, that's good to know, because I want to get your opinion on it, and I didn't call in last week. But because I know there's a guy that sets it up, and he wants like $3,800, but if I don't have to pay someone to set something up, save my money, that would be good. So, I don't know.
Well,
I want to try to protect my house and kind of thing, because I am in trouble with the CRA right now. So.
Yeah, there's already one trust agreement in place. And again, the whole problem is, as we've probably heard ad nauseum over the last 9 episodes now, is that you're standing within that person, your title, your role, your office, your capacity, your claim. There probably isn't a claim, first of all, which is one of the big problems, is incorrect. The record is wrong. They don't see you as the proper party. They see you as the accounts payable. That needs to be corrected. Once that's all corrected, you have no more problems. You don't need to put your house in trust. It already is in trust. And the name of the trust is in all capital letters.
Well, that's just
there's a perfectly functioning one right... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, that's good to know. I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
No, it's all good.
Okay.
Yeah, if you can't already operate the trust that exists, how are you going to do any better by starting another one?
Well, that's just it. Exactly. I got one other question for you. We watched a little bit of Winston Strode, and he has the IRS way to, like, they send out a form and you ask them for the check. And I'm wondering if, and then he just filled it out and wrote whatever he wrote on it, I can't remember it all, and sent it back to him, and he just doesn't pay taxes because it's taken out of whatever he wrote in as the account or his name. And I think you've seen the videos. I don't know how to quite explain it, but does that work for CRA?
I don't think. See, my problem with all that is when you start trying to meddle in their system, and that's, I don't think that's a valid option for people. There is ways allegedly of using the bond numbers on the back of the birth certificates and all this kind of stuff and directing them through this part of the treasury and doing all this crap. If you want to talk about acting as a trustee, that's the perfect way to do it. You start doing everything the trustees are supposed to be doing. Okay?
Well,
that's none of my business.
In my life, I'm trying to keep things simple. And it sounds like
yep.
a lot of the stuff sounds more complicated than what I need it to be.
That's exactly
I'm
it. What I'm trying, what we're trying to get people to do is that once you, I'm not telling co-op gas stations how to do their job. I just want my return check at the end of the year. They send me their filing where they have added up how much money I spent on gas, how much their profits were, how much it's worth per share, all this kind of stuff. And then they sent me a check along with the full accounting of how they arrived at that number. Does that not sound like the opposite of an income tax return as we know it right now?
Okay, I already muted his mic, Dean.
Yeah.
We need to move on to the next.
Yeah, they've got us believing that we have to do their jobs is all that's going on right now. That is it. All we have to do is flip that around. There's no treasury account numbers you have to start accessing. There's no there's no UCC filing you have to do. None of this shit. Just realize that it's supposed to be flipped around the other way. They've got you believing that you're the trustee and you're the one obligated to pay all debts. They're trying to pass the buck. They're the ones that are supposed to be doing all this. They're passing the buck on to you. Passing the buck. That's all it is.
Okay. I hope that answers your question, Paul. Sorry I had to mute your mic. I don't mean to be rude here, but we need to move on. A lot of questions. And Jesse, you're right. I think in overtime it should be an open discussion. But unfortunately, because of the importance of this topic, there's so many questions and I don't want to have to do a part three in order to cover them all, so it just has to be done this way for now. Paul, if you can press one again on your dial pad, that would be great. Our next caller is Lady Fairfax. Your mic is on. Go ahead.
Hi. Hi, Dean.
How you doing?
I'm way down here in the south, way far south. And I just wanted to – what you're saying to me is so – I mean, I have spent the last year going through everything that I could get my hands on or find. And it just seems like the whole commercial thing is so complicated. And I agree with you. I think, you know, if our birth certificate is evidence of a trust relationship, and why aren't we expressing it and just saying, hey, I'm sorry – I didn't realize before, but I think you're the trustee and you're supposed to be doing this.
You just answered everybody's question tonight right there. That's it. Express it. Express
I mean,
it. This is my
yeah.
understanding of things.
Say, I've been in a coma for the last 46 years. I don't know, you know, or something
yeah.
like that. I don't know. I mean, there's all these
yeah.
rules about people that are presumed dead. If you cut, and I've got a group up here, down here in Virginia, that are talking about being the living beneficiary, and but that goes against everybody saying no, they can't see you as a living person in the court. Everybody says no, 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 you can't do that. They'll throw you in jail. They'll throw you in the loony bin.
No, of course not. That's insanity to believe that.
Well, that's
of course
what
they can. Of course they can see is that they don't want to.
All right. I mean, even the tax, you know, the IRS here. I mean, I'm not scared of them. I mean, they've got a job to do. They're just doing their job, and we're performing in a way, and so they're going along with the way that we're telling them we're supposed to be interacting.
Yep.
All we have
and
to
this
do
all
is
comes
say,
down
hey,
to the
I'm sorry.
Yep.
I made a mistake there. The same with the social insurance. I mean, you know, our social security. I mean, it's a franchise, right?
And who owns that particular franchise?
We paid the tax for it, so I guess it's ours.
Well, yeah, I would say
it makes
not because you paid the tax on it. I would say you own all the equity in it, and that's why it's your franchise,
right.
And that's why you're supposed to be the one collecting the check.
Okay, we're the equitable interest holder.
Owner.
Okay, here's my question here, because people have been really confused about this whole legal title versus equitable title thing. The legal title holder is supposed to handle all the administrative and paying of all the stuff, right?
There.
So the equitable and the equitable title holder is supposed to be the beneficiary and is just supposed to reap the benefits, right?
Yep, unless they've appointed somebody else to collect everything that they're due, right? Like
okay, this makes sense. All right, so even the public, the Social Security public fiction, the whatever, our U.S. person is the beneficiary. And we shouldn't be having to do any kind of song and dance in front of them at all. They're supposed to be doing their job.
There you go.
Oh, I'm so mad.
So to elaborate on what you said earlier about, hey, sorry, I've been in a coma for the last 37 years. But I trust you guys have been doing your job while I was gone.
But what I'm trying to figure out is, you know, because all these people that I have been interacting with, and lots of them have been going through these rigmarole kind of administrative process, negative averment kind of stuff. We shouldn't even have anybody do that, right?
No. Nope.
We shouldn't be having to, like, set up another trust. Another grantor trust with another EIN number. We don't have to do any of that stuff.
You don't have to do any of that. Why would you?
Well, that's what everybody's having to do. That's what they're thinking they have to do.
Yeah, because everybody's running around trying to complicate things because they think that the more complicated it is, the better the solution must be.
Yeah, I just, you know, like running away from that number, like there's, I mean, if there's some record somewhere that says that that number is connected to me and I knew that my occupation is some occupation that isn't what I'm doing and it's in their record, they need to fix that.
Yeah. Okay. Is a bank account number on its own a bad thing?
No.
Or does it matter?
It doesn't tell the whole story, though.
Well, there you go. Or if you don't know who you are in relation to that number, right?
Right, and nobody's forthcoming with that information.
Because with every account has an accounts receivable and an account payable, does it not?
Yeah.
It
or
matters.
Maybe there's two sides of it. I don't know.
So your relation to the account, which side of the equation are you coming from? Wouldn't that be more important?
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with the account, but which side do they think you are?
They think we're
payable or receivable?
Public. They think we're purely the public side.
Sounds like a mistake has been made then.
Yeah, but see, we're not supposed to know that there's another side to it.
Of course we're not supposed to know that. That would unravel the whole scam system they got going on, the whole pyramid Ponzi scheme that they got going on.
Mm-hmm.
They'd have to get jobs next week if we figured it out.
All right, I'm sorry. I just needed to be I don't know. I needed some reinforcement. I really did.
Yeah. Don't let people distract you and overcomplicate it. It really is that simple.
You know how much it costs to go through a stupid three-part administrative process? It's just insane. It's expensive.
Yep. No, it's all hidden in plain sight.
One more thing. I should be able to just go in there if I've got like a court thing or whatever and file at BC and write something on the back of it and tell them, hey, clear it up.
Yep.
And not worry about it, because, I mean, they're all the people are, I mean, this is the way it is down here. You got to keep it on the private side. You got to do this. You got to do that. Why? You know, I mean, there's this like inherent equity chancery thing going on inside the in chambers, and we're supposed to access that. And
okay.
I don't
care about any of that. Here, settle it. That's your job.
Thank you. That makes me feel better.
Thank you, Lady Fairfax.
That's my belief, and it and I'm almost exclusively right when it comes to this kind of stuff, despite some claims to the contrary.
Okay, next caller.
Area code 321.
1443.
1443.
Can you please turn off your
speaker
over there? Hello?
Hey, I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to dial in again. I apologize.
All good.
I'm listening, but I did not mean to put my hand up.
Okay, can you press 1, please? Put your hand down if you don't mind.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks.
Okay, so that covers our live callers. Lady Fairfax, if you can please press 1 to put your hand down as well, that would be great. All right. I don't know how much time we have left, but let's try to cover as many of these questions as possible.
Yeah, if we could limit it here tonight, maybe. I can't go till I actually still have a motion that I have to answer to tomorrow that I haven't even started yet for one of my lawsuits.
How many questions do you want to cover?
Oh, man, let's go till 10:30 tonight. We'll try to answer a couple more questions, and I got to get going.
Okay, it's 5 more minutes. Okay. Okay. I assume the titles or capacity we should use when dealing with these private corporations or foreign estates is one of grantor, beneficiary, creditor. And the birth certificate is receipt and proof of our capacity as grantors. Would you please ask Dean to comment on this?
Oh, that's what I'm supposed to comment on, or there was something following that?
That's it.
Oh, okay. If that's the way you understand things and you think you can back that claim up, I would say that that's a pretty good start. And you would want to know why that's the case. Absolutely. And the birth certificate, again, I don't think it's anything to be feared, especially when a proper claim has been made. It all depends on who you are in that equation. That's the important part. Again, people have to remember, the birth certificate is an extract of something else that exists. It's not an original document. It's an extract of something else that they have the original for. So just being in possession of that document means nothing. It's your use of it that seals the deal, that digs your own grave. It tells you right on that document, or used to, it now tells you right in the Vital Statistics Act, it is not personal ID. Do not use it as personal ID. The first thing we did was we went and used it as personal ID. So, we got ourselves into the mess. That's why we're acting, why the record shows us as being in the wrong capacity. So, correct it.
Okay, next question. I'm going to read this as is. If you are not a citizen born in Canada, can you claim you are a citizen of this land? So, if you received your Canadian citizenship through the normal process of being here for 3 years as an immigrant and getting your citizenship, Can you then
like
claim
naturalization or whatever?
Naturalization, yes.
I haven't had to look into that. I haven't had any of those kind of problems, but I would say that your share of the resources is a birthright. So my personal take on that is I don't think you have absolutely all your natural rights intact, but do you have a claim to your share of all the resources of this land? I personally would like to say no to that. That would go back to where you were actually born, the country that you were actually born. You can be naturalized here, and you have all your natural rights intact and everything, and that should never be a problem. And, I mean, I don't know how many examples you want of that being the case where natives here in Canada, borders don't exist to them. They go down to the States without any ID whatsoever. Just cry, oh, yeah, borders don't exist to them. Off you go. So, because that's all commerce. Those borders are all commerce. It's all commercial zones. So I would like to see something on that if somebody's got some answers when it comes to that. I don't know what naturalization does. I don't know what documents come here from the country where you were born when you're naturalized. Maybe all your original certificates are sent here, all your bonds, everything. It could be sent over to Canada now, which, again, is just a franchise. It's just a commercial zone. It's got no bearing on the land, so you should be free to come and go wherever you want, on any land, anywhere.
Okay, but now I'm starting to realize that this person who asked this question, that it's a very good question, because you consider that a large percentage of Canadians in Canada are naturalized Canadians.
Yep.
So this, you know, maybe we should look into this further and see if we can come up with a proper answer. But here's an argument towards that. I'm thinking here, if we are all given our rights by God, per se, God did not create borders on the planet. He gave us our rights. He gave us our rights to the land, being the planet, the whole planet, not just Canada or the United States. Can you not argue it that way?
But, yeah, and that's where I see some problems with that one, because there's no mistake in what God said, obviously. But that's like saying that I've stuck my claim to a little piece of land somewhere, and I staked my claim, I'm working the land, and I'm growing crops on a little piece of land somewhere. And 30 people show up and say, oh, well, this is all God's. That means we can just help ourselves. I don't care if you put effort into building this up and to being productive land that grows food. It belongs to all of us. Therefore, that's all ours. So, no, I have a problem with that. That's exactly why a group of people come together and say, no, you know what? We're going to put up a little border here. We're all going to work and improve things around here. But we want to be the ones to benefit off of what we have built. That's where this whole idea of government came along in countries. But now we're not dealing with countries anymore. We're dealing with nations. And that's why the nation of Canada may have naturalized you, and you still have human rights. But I don't think you have a claim to be a beneficiary of something that other people have built. I don't believe that. Your kids will. Now, if you give birth and you have a child that is born here and is of this land, then now, yes, that child has a claim because now they were born here. They now have a birthright, and they're going to grow up and be productive members of this society and build on what the previous generation has built.
Okay, so then
I think that's actually very important. I think that's why, like, they call them anchor babies, like from Mexico. Like, the parents have no rights on the land. To citizenship, but the baby when he's born there does, because that's now a birthright.
Okay, so then
naturalization is kind of like a privilege.
So based on what you're saying, then a naturalized Canadian, none of the stuff you said about the birth certificate record of live birth would apply to them. So therefore, they're stuck having to pay taxes.
Well, I wouldn't. Well, you know what? That's a good question. I wouldn't say that either. I would just say they have no. It's like this. I love using the example now today for some reason of the co-op membership, right? If I just became a member at co-op yesterday, and I haven't really bought any gas yet, then I'm really not owed any returns at the end of the year, am I?
Okay.
So that's all that really is. If you want to consider that as a point of naturalization, you just kind of showed up. You don't automatically own a piece of the pie just because you showed up and you now have a membership.
I'm still not getting how you get out of paying taxes, though.
Well, again, taxes, we're talking income taxes now. Why would income taxes apply to you just because you live here now and you work here now?
Because
that doesn't make any sense. You wouldn't have to pay income taxes, but you're not due anything back either. I'm guessing would be the best way to explain that. I don't know. I don't even know how somebody would figure that out.
That's actually
an interesting
question to look to kind of research and look forward in the future. Okay, one last question, Dean, and I'm going to close it off. Would it be impossible for me, this is from Landuff, would be impossible for me to be an agent or officer of the Crown if I already serve God, or would it be possible? I don't understand this here. He's got a, would impossible for me to be an agent or officer of the Crown if I already serve God? Would this be a good way to say it?
Well, yeah, I understand what they're saying there, and they're using that the argument that that we've spoken about in the past, and I think that's that the religious exemption there is in the criminal code as well, that you can't be stopped by by a peace officer for any reason if you're in the service of your religion or your God. I can't remember exactly how that statute is actually phrased there in the criminal code, but the only reason I like that one, and not because it's in the criminal code, is that's a very simple argument that somebody could make, where you say, well, look, at the time that this guy accused me of breaking a statute of Canada, it's impossible for me to have been acting as an agent, officer, employee, or public official, because I was in the service of the Lord at the time. That's a perfectly valid argument. That doesn't get you out of murder. There's no possible way you could be in the service of the Lord and kill somebody and that be a normal function of your duty to the Lord. But that is a perfectly good way of attacking statutes. But you better understand what that means. And the other problem with that as well is, personally speaking, I really don't think you want to be fucking around with God by claiming that when it's not true. If you were not in his service at the time and you were claiming to be, well, you're going to suffer whatever other wrath is going to come down on you. And I would rather answer to man than to him. The God card is not a good one to pull if you're not actually doing it.
Okay. All right, that'll be basically conclude of tonight's show. I want to thank Jay Holbrook. He already made a donation to Global Fact Radio to keep the show going. Thank you very much for that. So I want to remind the rest of you, if you are enjoying our ongoing episodes every Monday with Dean Clifford, How To with Dean Clifford, your donation would be greatly appreciated. Or if you can help us out by getting us a corporate sponsor, somebody that would like to advertise on our show and pay the bills, then you don't have to donate. That would be great. I tried to do that myself. I haven't been successful. So that's why I'm having, after all these months, to come to you for help. So if you'd like to donate, please, right now, the only way you can do that is through PayPal, at least till our page will be up with our donate button. So log into your PayPal account and use the send money feature. And when I ask you for the email address, you can put in tony@globalfact2012.com. Would be greatly appreciated. Thank you all for listening tonight.
Yep.
Dean, thanks again for another great episode.
It's all good. Yeah, I just wanted to add there that I think a lot of people don't realize sometimes the as well as the personal time and effort that goes into a lot of this stuff is the actual money out of pocket that we are a lot of times, because we have to actually pay for things.
Exactly.
To be able to do this kind of stuff. So as well as fighting the same battles that everybody else is fighting, everybody says, oh, well, I'm not in a good spot right now because I'm in the middle of fighting all these battles. Okay, there's those of us out there that are fighting those same battles, and we're also putting all our time into helping teach people to the best of our ability, and we're also footing the bills for trying to help people as much as we possibly can. So we understand your position, believe us.
Yeah.
Nobody said this was going to be easy. If this was the easy road, everybody would be doing this one instead of just cooperating with the government.
Exactly.
You chose the path less traveled by, so hopefully it makes all the difference.
Okay, so I will be talking to Dean this week. I'll get the topic for our next show. I'll post it up on the Global Fact fan page so you guys can start sending any questions for that. I'm sorry for all the questions that went unanswered. I don't think I want to do a part three for this. I think two parts is enough. We've overkilled.
Oh, I'm sure income taxes will come up again in the future.
I'm sure they will. All right, thank you all for listening. Have a good night. I'm going to close it off with our theme song, which is Revolution by the Beatles. Dean, talk to you soon. Good night, everybody.
All right, good night, bud.
You're listening to Global Fact Radio.